For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is March 18th, 2020. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Justin Labar, here to talk about Dynamite and what there was of NXT tonight. Lots to talk about. A new sponsor to welcome to the show. But first, the big news that broke today. Justin, what's happening with WrestleMania?
Yeah, WWE sent an email to the media this evening announcing that WrestleMania 36 is now going to be two nights. It's going to be both Saturday, April 4th, and Sunday, April 5th. Rob Gronkowski, who was also just recently signed on to work with WWE, he's going to be the host of it, is what they are promoting.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be on SmackDown this Friday to kind of promote and drum up to that. So that's what's confirmed by WWE. But then another wrinkle, another thing that we're hearing is that according to ESPN's Mark Raimondi, sorry if I butchered that last name, Mark, but he is reporting that he's hearing that WrestleMania is actually going to be done. It'll be over the two nights, but it might be in different locations. So it's got people thinking WrestleMania 2 style, that maybe some, I don't know what those other locations would be, because the whole point of them doing the Performance Center is it's because it's a property they own and they can control. I don't know where else they could do matches around the country. So again, that's unconfirmed by WWE. It is a report from an ESPN reporter that's got a track record in the MMA and pro wrestling world. So we'll wait and see, but what we do know is for sure two nights, April 4th and April 5th, WrestleMania will take place.
Yeah, Matt, what do you think? We've advocated for this on the podcast.
I don't know what to make of that. That's exciting, right? We don't know what to make of that. Like, we don't know where the two places are going to be.
Well, I mean, again, it could. Right now, WWE's just saying the Performance Center. So if that independent report from the ESPN report is wrong, then it's going to be two nights at the Performance Center. But it's supposedly it could be multiple locations, which again, on the one hand, I see the benefit of maybe depending on where those locations are, making it easier for some talent to travel.
Because they can drive there. They don't have to worry about flying. Yes.
Correct. I just don't know what those places would be. Like, can WWE rent out a smaller like concert venue and try to do, like, how would they pull that off? I'm not sure.
Like that.
And Justin, what are the rumors and inside word that's been going around about why Vince chose to do this strategy rather than postponing Mania altogether?
So the belief inside to those in the inside that are connected is that it's potentially an insurance matter. Is that in an insurance claim that Vince would have with WrestleMania, there's a clause that would say you need to mitigate damages. In this case, mitigate damages would mean you are still trying to put the event on, but you're trying to do it while adhering to the public crisis and the rules. So that's him saying, all right, I'm going to still do it. I'm still going to live stream this event. It'll be done at the Performance Center with essential personnel only, no fans. But if between now and April 4th now, if the state of Florida or the national or the federal government would shut down and say, look, no, or would shut the event down and say, no, even WrestleMania, the Performance Center is still going to be too many people with talent and production crew. If they shut it down, then Vince would ultimately, in theory, now have a better case to get insurance money. If the government shut down at the Performance Center, then he'd get his insurance money, and then it potentially now could do Mania at a later date at a more traditional venue. The rumor has been like an MSG or something. But as of now, as we've seen, Mania is still going to happen April 4th and April 5th as advertised. But if between now and then the government would shut it down, saying that it's just not safe, then there might be a claim there for Vince. So we'll see. I don't think Vince wants to have WrestleMania in his best matches. I don't think he wants to waste essentially his best matches in an empty arena situation. I think he would rather have this delayed at this point, but if April 4th comes, I guess he's got to put it on the best that he can.
That's the whole... wouldn't they do that already? Wouldn't they already step in and say, like, I don't see the harm in him doing it at the Performance Center? Why would they step in and say, you can't do it there?
If Florida's government or if the national government says, look, things are getting worse in the country and you're still going to have several hundred people at the Performance Center between crew.
Several hundred?
Several dozen.
Well, between crew, talent, I mean, I don't even several dozen, though. You're still at that point beyond the recommended 10 or less gathering. Mm-hmm. So the things, I mean, there's still, it's still, what, 3 weeks away. So if things get worse in these next 3 weeks.
I can't see them putting all the talent in there. I could see them shuttling them in. I could see them bringing in groups like of 10 for like the first hour.
Sure.
Or whatever, to do their thing, to do their match, to do their promos. All right, you guys are done. Bye. Next shipment comes in.
Yeah, that might be how it is. Or if they're in multiple locations, that changes it. We'll see.
I'm telling you, looking at Dynamite tonight, I actually think Dynamite threw down the gauntlet and said, this is how you can actually put on a really great wrestling show, even under these limited conditions. Now, some people on Twitter are speculating, did they break any guidelines for gatherings based on the number of people that were together? I mean, I understand the health and safety. Well, but Matt, you know, if there are regulations in place, it is important to honor those and abide by those for the sake of the talent alone. I'm sure Tony Khan, much like Vince McMahon, is doing what he can to protect the performer's safety. But what I wanted to say about tonight, though, even when they cut to that video package in Jake's Backwoods wrestling ring, man, WrestleMania could be really cool if we get some different matches in different locations. Like if they lean into the fact that this is not your standard wrestling show and provide something unique. I think Dynamite proved tonight that that can be very effective. So that being said, we've got some super chats tonight. Damian Cole said best AEW show yet, in my opinion, even without the crowd.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. But I don't know about best, but it was really good, even without the crowd. And then Justin Lopez with the super chat saying it was still weird sans audience, but honest to God, that was really entertaining with other wrestlers taunting the in-ring competitors. I mean, this was a night and day difference to what we saw Friday and Monday
and they
at WWE.
And they did a ton of smart things, not only just putting some heels and faces out there to make noise so it didn't sound like a hollow, empty arena like WWE's programming has been, but they put the hard camera and they shot into this large full-size production stage. You didn't have empty chairs as your backdrop like you're having at the Performance Center. They shot into the stage, so it kind of made you forget that, hey, there's not, you know, you're not seeing empty seats. I thought, from a visual standpoint, they set it up well. The sound of the hooting and hollering helped. And yeah, this was top three Dynamite episodes ever. My biggest disappointment was that it was so good. I feel bad that it could not get the pops from a crowd that it deserved. That's my biggest disappointment. I mean,
well, it can be how we blow social media up about it. You know what I mean? In a way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I would have loved to hear the sound, the roar of a crowd when some of these big moments happened. Gotcha. God, it was a great show. Great episode.
No, I mean, this was good. I could see this if they can keep this up, and maybe with pre-tapes, maybe with modified schedules, I think this could work on TV for the foreseeable future. Okay, so we're going to talk about AEW Dynamite. Two big debuts tonight, right? Matt Hardy, Brody Lee, formerly Luke Harper, making their AEW debut tonight. But first, we got to talk about another very important debut. Matt Morgan's been looking forward to this. You've been counting down the days. This is like your WrestleMania. We have a new sponsor of the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and it is Manscaped. Support for this episode of Wrestling Inc. is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, guys, we've all been there before, trying to touch things up a little bit, even some things out, maybe create some perspective, or just at the very least sort of, you know, minimize on anything that might be unflattering or unappealing. And if you're a larger guy like myself, you are completely going on the honor system. You're trying to hold a mirror. You're getting down there. And oh my God, if you've ever cut yourself in that area, let me tell you, it's not pleasant. It's not good. But that shouldn't deter you from the mission to have your junk in order, as it were. That is why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. Just imagine that. Little kid going to school, learning to become an engineer. And said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to create the greatest ball hair trimmer ever. And they did that. They just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Here it is. This is the third generation Manscaped trimmer. It features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And this is premium. I mean premium. This battery is going to last up to 90 minutes, so you can take that longer shave. Just listen to that. That power right there. And one of the coolest features is there's actually called LED light, which illuminates the grooming areas for a closer, more precise trim. So you know what you're doing. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. Quiet stroke technology. I'm just going to say that again. You insert your own joke there. And let's not forget about the charging stand, so you can show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. So, hey, you got a date coming over? And she's like, oh, what's that there? And I go, well, that's my Manscaped. She's like, oh, can I take a look at that? And I'm like, I'll do you one better. I'll show you the result of my Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. And if you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product. I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself and trim that junk of yours. 2020, you got no excuse. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code WINC at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC at manscaped.com. 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use that promo code WINC. And Matt Morgan.
Yes.
You are a longtime Manscaped customer.
So, first of all, Manscaped, if you're watching, you need to let me be doing your commercials here going forward. Because all jokes aside, I don't do our ads on this show. And Glenn gave me the little 411 about a new sponsor, and I asked who it was. He said Manscaped. I flipped out because this is a product I've been buying with my own hard-earned money. That's one. Here's the one from before that. And here's the straight edge you use for your face and other areas. Yeah. And this stuff is, no joke, amazing. And the thing about it is, you can imagine as pro wrestlers, you wear wrestling trunks on national television. Nobody wants to see you looking like you have buckwheat in a scissors lock. All right. And so, long story short, pro wrestlers for years have been having to use lady razors because they're generally the softest, that don't cut your stuff up. Don't cut your legs. Don't cut your groin area. Things like that. And when this thing came out, I mean, the whole gimmick behind it, if I could show you guys at home, you could see the white part. The white part of this, this is a brand new one. I haven't used it yet, is a plastic guard blade. And that's what keeps from nicking you and cutting you and grabbing your you-know-what and really doing damage like every other razor ends up doing. In those very tough to reach areas and sensitive areas. But like, I wish this was out when I was still wrestling. And just in general, you use this on your every other body, but your back hair, everything. And it gets it without cutting or leaving these crazy streaks and the nicks and scratches that every set of clippers always will leave on your back. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But even this, even their normal straight edge, is double-sided, meaning go like that way. You can flip it over and use the other way. You can dry shave with this. You don't even, you know, it's just, this company's awesome. Like, I flipped out when I heard they were our sponsor because I'm like a legitimate fan of their stuff.
I just got some of their product too in the mail they sent. Thank you very much. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it absolutely works, man. And the straight edge razor is called the Plow.
The Plow. Yes. The Plow.
Which is fantastic. It's great. You know, I've tried this, and let me tell you, no cuts, no nicks. This works. And again, trust me, you're going to like it. Your partner is going to thank you for it, and you're going to save 20% off, plus get free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code WINC. And we thank Manscaped, not only for sponsoring this podcast, but for acting and going forth on this mission to free men and their balls from unsightly hairs. Thank you, Manscaped, for sponsoring the podcast. So, AEW, first, these super chats, and this is what better way to start it off. Jay Lane, $2, saying Cody is one of the top promos in all of wrestling.
Duh.
Matt, how great
thanks,
was
Jay
that?
Thanks, Jay Lane.
Well, hey, Matt Morgan, how many wrestlers out there would you pay money make a comment and say, no, but I'm saying Jay Lane saying, I'm going to spend $2 to put Cody over. Think about that for a second. That's dedication.
That's true. That's how good Cody is.
That is how good he is. That promo tonight to start the show out there in a dark, empty arena or empty venue, addressing no audience, addressing lightly the situation in the world today and what we're all dealing with. And then using that to segue into cutting a promo and talking about what's going on with the Elite right now. Yeah, Matt, give me your thoughts on what you thought.
Let me ask you guys, whose was better, his or Hunter's?
This was better.
Isn't that crazy? But it was. just a friggin' money promo, but like, I'm not surprised anymore. Like, this guy's not catching me off guard anymore by being the best promo. And that's saying something. I've always thought Jericho has kind of been the best promo, but with him being like right behind him this year. But I'm sorry, I think Cody's number one.
Yeah, it was a really good promo. And I mean, in such a odd situation, you know, as a performer, not just a pro wrestler, but any performer, you know, stage, anything, you're used to having a crowd. You're used to a certain setting. And when you're in a basically a blacked out arena, being told you're live, one take, let's go, but you have nobody around. I don't know. It's just a unique situation. I just thought he delivered.
And that's what makes him so good, is that anytime they give him something that he has an opportunity to show his passion for, it's a game, set, match. His promos are 10s out of 10s every single time. He has something he's able to sink his teeth into. I'm yet to see him dud or phone in, or like I said, dud a promo yet. That wasn't something that was, you could tell, was meaningful to him. I'm not seeing him screw one up yet.
I just thought it was so, I'm going to use this word, Matt, and I hope you don't mock me too much for it. I'm going to say what he said at the beginning was beautiful. It was eloquent when he said, we as human beings have to stand together, and for now that means at a distance. And then saying, yet he refuses to live in a prison of fear. He feels alive, and he hopes the fans at home feel the same way. And use this to pivot in talking about the Elite. And talking about Matt Jackson, his anger towards Hangman Page, how it's misplaced. Talking about Nick Jackson, and then bringing out Kenny Omega. The way he just pivoted from that tonight was masterful. And rather than trying to ignore it altogether or just say, oh, you know, I mean, he didn't say the words coronavirus, but I think that he addressed it better tonight. Whereas with Triple H, seemed so purposefully to not give any suggestion as to what else is going on aside from the fact that it was a different show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Kenny Omega came out, said some words, and then after that, when they hit the So I'm trying to remember all of this, how it happened exactly. So the Matt was on the mic. Where's Adam Page? Adam came out and was standing there. So we went from this to Paige cheered them with a drink, went to the back, Omega talked to the camera, and then they hit the lights in the pyro, which I think was very important. I mean, talk about something that's a little thing that they could do just to pull out some stops tonight. It was a great, great start to AEW Dynamite tonight.
No question.
And then at ringside, Tony Schiavone with MJF, he's interviewing MJF about tonight, saying he's out there. He's offered money to wrestle, but he's out there. He's going to let the mid-card entertain. And he and Sean Spears gambling on the matches. That part when he whispered to Tony, like off mic, like, hey, old man, you want to know this? You want to get into some of this action? Like, this, you know, I have to agree. This is in my top three AEW Dynamite episodes tonight. Like, there was so much creativity on display. And it just really made the best of a bad situation.
Definitely. This show was money.
Yeah, I mean, I several times forgot that this was a different show given the circumstance. They just kept me into it. And again, I mean, it was only like what, maybe 12, 15 wrestlers in total out there, and they would rotate, you know, the guys are out there. But I mean, just those 12 or 15 having fun, hooting, hollering, making a little bit of noise. It wasn't distracting, but it was just, it gave you that little bit of ambient noise that you're used to hearing during a pro wrestling match. And I just thought it was just such a great, simple move. And then again, like I said, shooting where they had the hard camera, it was just, they really kind of learned from WWE's mistakes watching WWE these last few times. And to be fair to WWE, it's WWE's making the best of what they can, but
well, they were the first ones to do it, to be fair. That's what I mean. It was a much harder uphill battle. And more importantly than, no offense, your comment, my comment, or Glenn's next comment, Shane Ramiel, whatever how you pronounce it, why are you giving $1.99? What made you say 99 cents? 99 cents for your super chat.
Hey, Matt, I think right now in these uncertain times, you got to save a penny wherever you can. As Shane is proving out. So he was saying if it was a crowd, the difference would be crazy. And to Justin, your point, that's why it is so unfortunate tonight. But I don't know that the show, don't get me wrong, Matt Hardy and Brody Lee debuting certainly would have gotten pops. Yeah. The matches would have got pops. But I think they had to be a little more inventive tonight. It felt more meaningful what was going on tonight.
So my question is, did Matt, and that was the first question I was going to ask you both, debuting Brody Lee and Matt Hardy tonight, would you have saved it to everything got back to normal and there was fans back in an arena again?
Problem is when you don't know what that timeline is. So then you find yourself potentially sitting on dragging out, you know, who the Exalted One, you know, for maybe months. We don't know what this is going to be. So, I mean, it was ballsy, Manscaped. It was ballsy to go ahead and pull both of these out in one episode. But I think just given, you know, the given that we're still maybe in the early parts of this pandemic and so in the situation, I just feel bad. This episode would have been in Rochester, New York, which as we talked about is where Brody Lee's from. That would have been the biggest pop of his career for a guy that got so misused and not used at all for years there in WWE. I would have loved him to got that pop.
I disagree for the pop. The biggest pop, and he'll never get bigger than, not because he's not over, not because he's not awesome, is when the three wide showed up in the ring, if you remember, versus the Shield. The lights went out and the lights came back on when they were at their hottest. He was involved in that pop.
Okay, fair. So this would have been the biggest pop solely for him. That was a good pop. No question. Yeah, yeah.
This actually ties into what Dorian Spradlin with the super chat. Thank you, Dorian, is saying if they would have WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden, what month do you think it should take place in?
June.
I'm gonna guess August.
You got SummerSlam in August in Boston.
They're still telling their stories, aren't they? They haven't just shut down completely.
Well, and that's kind of the point to what you're saying, you know, about sitting on Matt Hardy and Brody Lee. I think right now there is no – everyone is pushing things ahead in the hopes that, maybe things will be back to normal by June. Maybe things will be back to normal by July. Maybe some things will be back to normal by September. We don't know. And in wrestling, the train keeps on moving. Regardless, the stories keep on moving. This is a very much ephemeral business with a lot of forward momentum. I don't think you can plan in such an uncertain scenario. I think you just have to do it. You can't keep your powder dry.
And I think even AEW is keeping an open mind about this is a fluid situation changing day to day, because if you notice, they promote, you know, they promoted Luchasaurus versus Wardlow in a lumberjack match. They didn't say next week. All their wording and speech tonight was the next Dynamite. Sure. So I that was something that I saw going and was talking on social. I think they're being very open with like, hey, this might, you know, this show might be the last one for a few weeks if depending on how this progresses. Yeah. So
I almost guarantee you they are pre-taping content. Even the remark that was made about the parking lot fight, the street fight in a parking lot, even the way he was laughing about it made it sound like, I bet you they taped that earlier today. And with being the Elite, they have experience doing this. Justin Todd got a shout out. Thanks for the super chat. Thanks for getting a Blue Chew Manscaped combo deal. I should reach out to someone.
Oh my God. You totally should be all over that, Glenn.
I'm telling you the marriage,
shape it up and show it off.
Save yours.
Yes. Shape it up and show it off. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. It just two great tastes that go great together.
What? Peanut butter and jelly.
No, but don't you remember the old ads for Reese's peanut butter cups? It was like, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate. People bump into each other all the time and their foods just mixed together. You know,
they go together like lamb and tuna fish.
Yes. Jackson Callens spent $1.99, Matt, to tell you that iPad users can't change from the .99.
iPad won't let us change. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Apple.
What was the emoji?
The emoji? Oh, the shrug.
Oh, okay.
So I throw my hands up at that.
Well, Raj's pockets just got $1.99.
Oh, you should have seen. Raj the other night.
Glenn was telling me. I heard.
Oh, my God. Raj, I'm sorry, dude. Raj was like, come on, guys. Give us more.
He doesn't listen to this podcast. He doesn't know that.
I gotta, you know, in this time of uncertainty when we're trying to find content, and we might have less and less. I think a great video, a great promotional video for the sponsor would be Raj using Manscaped on Ryback. I think that's cool. It writes itself.
I would
shave me more. Shave me more.
Oh my God. Have you put any thought into this, Justin, or is this off the top of your head?
It's coming to me right here.
This is really good, Justin. I'm impressed.
Daniel. I didn't think of this. You know, him super chat saying blood and guts from the Hardy compound.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of any of that. They could totally do this from the Hardy compound, actually.
Matt's got a ring and a big warehouse there, and obviously he's got all that land.
What do you think of that idea, Glenn?
I think that'd be awesome. I mean, that's what I want to see in this. It's like look at all the great independent films that we've ever seen. Look at a lot of the great music that's been done. Like, constraints and limitations force you to be more creative, and they result in greater art most of the time.
And I actually think, Glenn, I don't know this for sure, so this is not like a scoop, but I would not be surprised, since the camera crews and the Young Bucks were at Hardy's compound in the last few weeks for Hardy's YouTube show, I would not be surprised if they filmed the Lance Archer backwoods ring thing there on Hardy's property.
I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know if Jake has that or what, but that looked to me like the same ring and set they used in Peanut Butter Falcon, the movie Jake the Snake was in. Also, there was a wrestling match. You guys should watch that movie. If you got downtime right now, like Peanut Butter Falcon, solid film. Wrestling is a big part of the plot there, and there is a match at the end without hopefully spoiling too much. So let's get into it. We've got some comments about the Exalted One. Going to want to talk about that. But first, we had Orange Cassidy on commentary while the Best Friends wrestled the Lucha Bros.
And Orange Cassidy didn't say anything, did he?
No.
Perfect.
That's great.
Them taking camera shot, just coming in and getting shots of him, not saying anything. That sounds stupid, but sounded like added so much. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was so funny.
And Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix won that match via pinfall. I even like that with that spot where Best Friends were going to hug and they did the bumping elbows instead. Like, I thought, again, I like that they weren't avoiding the situation we're in entirely.
Yeah,
it was good. This was a great match. And then after that, and after that, the Best Friends challenge the Lucha Bros to a parking lot street fight on next week's show. Then we have Penelope Ford versus Hikaru Shida versus Rio versus Chris Statlander in a four-way match. And this ended with Hikaru Shida getting the pinfall. Matt, what did you think of this women's match for AEW?
I dug it, actually. I thought this was really good. And I usually don't think they're good with people that they've not done a good job of trying to get over or tell me anything about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this was good.
I mean, do you think in a way that for acts that haven't gotten over with the audience yet, not having an audience?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, it's so funny you said that. Yes, I do. Because we didn't get a chance to hear crickets. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't hear crickets, who's to say some of the stuff wouldn't have gotten massive pops, right? Can't rule that out, right?
This is the dream for the technical wrestling marks out there. It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter if you're John Cena or Drew Gulak or any wrestler. This is all now about talent and your ability to go out there and bring it. And audience reaction counts for nothing.
That's how they need to be thinking. They need to be doing that and then working that damn camera and playing to the people at home way more than they're supposed to be doing that anyway on TV shows. They're not supposed to be playing to the audience live.
I think of that women's match. This was one of the better women's matches I've seen in AEW. And Penelope Ford, I thought she's a star.
She's I think she's one of the biggest stars they have. But still, I was still happy with this match.
Yeah, she shined bright in the match. I mean, she's got a killer look. I mean, she looks beautiful. I mean, I thought she was a standout to me in this.
She's nasty, dude. Like, she can go, dude. She takes all the attention away, a la Lita with what's his name? I say Rios. When she's with her, what's her boyfriend's name?
Kip Sabian.
See, I remember her name and not his.
The guy that got punked out by Colt Cabana in a little interaction after the match.
Super bad. Whatever. Like, he's really good. He's impressive in the ring, but, like, I just forgot his name. But, yeah, I don't forget hers. You know what I mean? She steals all his heat in their matchups when she's out there, what do you call it, assisting him, whatever you want, managing him.
Yeah. Okay, we've got some Super Chats backed up, and I was trying to save them and scroll, but I don't want to miss any, so I just want to address these now. Pavi let Andy out of his cage. That is a long username with the super chat saying, I honestly didn't like the Brody Lee outfit. He should have had a suit or like the old mafia outfit. Coming out with that wrestling suit looked weird. We'll get to that and his appearance tonight. Jay Lane's recommending everyone watch Devs on Hulu while quarantined. Oh, $9.99 for Matt's facial expression when I made the peanut butter and chocolate combo thing. So there you go. Let's see. Damian Cole with the super chat saying, I hope WWE steps up its game so we all win as fans. I want both companies to do great so the product of wrestling is the best it can be. Eric,
who knows? This could change everything. We don't know. This could change something, Glenn.
No, for Mania, it better. If Mania was like this tonight, if they managed to pull it off with just having fun, creativity, different locations, a little bit of poignancy, I think they could actually knock Mania out of the park for what it is. But they've got to put their thinking caps on and not just do what they did on NXT tonight, which is completely phone in a show.
Here's the thing, though, between the difference, really quick, AEW has a lot more talents that can go off the fly, in my opinion, which is funny when you think about it, because they get accused for being spot monkeys that memorize all their spots. Well, I would argue they're much better thinking on the fly, especially like with MJF, Cody. There's so many people that are much more entertaining when you don't give them any kind of scripts and things like that, whereas WWE have a lot of young guys and gals that now rely on that script, and some of them are very stiff. Not in the ring, but like with their personalities and characters without a script, some of them.
I think Vince should be assigning, and if he hasn't already, assigning a producer to every match and saying, I want you guys to come up with three ideas of how you're going to do this and make it entertaining television. Forget wrestling shows. Forget wrestling pay-per-views. How are you going to do this in a way that's going to be great TV?
Yeah.
You know, Eric Carr, Tony needs to hire Glenn for AEW creative. I'm good, but thank you, Eric. I appreciate the super chat. I am Eric with the super chat saying, let's go masked, guys. Let's see. What else do we got?
Jeez. How much money is this one episode made? Jesus.
Well, let's just say Raj Geary is not going to run out of toilet paper for quite some time. Gentleman Paul saying WWE could use Matt Hardy. Now here's the 1 cent. There we go. He went up to $2 even there. And and good. Pavi saying, if quarantine gets worse, Corona will kill WWE. I got it. We'll kill WWE as a brand. I thought you were being really dark there. I think that, yeah. And that's why when we talk about pre-tape, because who knows where we're going to be in 3 weeks. If I'm AEW, I'm saying right now, guys, don't go home. You're healthy. You're good. We're all here. Let's knock out as much content as we can.
Yes. It's a lot. That's a lot on the roster, though, for the record, but still.
Matt, would you have preferred back when you were on the roster if you could work for, let's say, 3 to 5 days and then go home for a month or two?
Oh, no question, but yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Rivera with the super chat saying WWE needs to give us a few segments on R-Truth showing up to an empty Raymond James Stadium ready for WrestleMania.
They don't do that. They're missing the boat. They have to do that. They have to know that that's there and they've got to take it. They have to take that. Right?
Yes. I think it'd be great.
Awesome not to.
No, I agree.
Tom Brady.
Here we go. Kathy Hunter saying, guys, how do we even know this was live tonight? That's a good question. AEW could have taped it during the day.
Dark. You could see that it was dark outside.
Oh,
the venue's outside. It's a concert. It's a pavilion.
Yeah.
Good point. Back to the show. Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus The Butcher and The Blade.
This was okay. I like this the least.
No Marco stunt though.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was curious. I wonder if they're hinting towards anything. Cause obviously Butcher and Blade, lost, and they kind of commentary attributed to MJF hollering instructions at them. That's what caused them to lose. And then as Butcher and Blade will leave and MJF's kind of staring them down. So I don't know if they're maybe planting a seed to split them off or not have an association anymore. No bunny tonight.
Yeah. This was followed by Evil Uno and Grayson out in the ring saying the Exalted One is near and everyone will see what he has seen. Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels come to the ring. Daniels tells them to stop. Says the Dark Order hasn't made anyone better. He's sick of it. Says there is no Exalted One. It's just Grayson and Uno. And the music begins playing. We see a masked man walk forward saying, "We do what we want when we want. If I want something, I take it." Removes his mask, and it's Brody Lee, of course, Luke Harper from WWE. And Lee says, "Daniels is now unsafe. Thanks to all his talking, you're not the first out of touch old man who didn't believe in me, but I'll make sure you are the last." And back in the ring, Lee was behind Daniels and Kazarian. He, Uno, and Grayson attack the two guys. John Silver and Alex Reynolds got in the ring. Uno yells, "Who are you?" The rest yell, "We are one." And Lee stands at the front of the pack, and then they went to the back.
I thought that was as well done as it could be, no?
I think the outfit, I agree with the comment earlier we got about the outfit. I think that that probably would have played better to a live audience. With the Dark Order, I don't feel like they've gotten their dress code fully on point yet.
Oh, definitely not. But I can't get past Uno.
Yeah. The tape vignette of Brody talking was great. You had a line about you're not the first out of touch old man. I mean, what a shot there. The only thing about the presentation of this, and this is nitpicking, but I mean, I saw it, so I know if I saw it, somebody else had to, is that when Daniels was talking, they start playing the video, you hear some music, they cut to putting the video full screen, and then they cut back to showing the arena. And as they cut back to showing the arena, you see the man in white, who is Brody Lee, walk out the tunnel trying to hurry up and get to the ring. It was for about 1 second, and they quickly cut back to showing the video. But, I mean, I'm sure, like everybody else, I'm on the edge of my seat watching the screen, not looking at my computer or my phone. So that was my only thing. I was like, ooh, just as a live production. So that kind of tells you this is live. It was one live production area as you start seeing them run out real quick. But overall, this was a really good. This was good, and I'm happy for Brody Lee. He's the locker room has just gained a huge asset in him.
Louis Barrondo with the super chat saying Marco Stunt actually has the flu currently. Oof. That's why he stayed home. Good on Marco for sitting this out, and we hope he gets better soon. Yeah, and people are saying, well, he's supposed to look different, as Evan Wright is saying in all caps about Brody. I think you just have to figure it out because we got the reveal tonight. Right, the Dark Order's been all about this mystery.
I agree with that, though. He does need to. He does need to look different. So I'm happy that he does look completely different.
Yeah. It was good when he came out. I mean, I really enjoyed the entrance of that. Good for him. This is putting him in a much better spot than he was in when he left WWE. Although, in fairness, I mean, it's not like he never got a push. I mean, the
blood. He was the Intercontinental Champion. Him and Dolph Ziggler for Intercontinental Championship is one of the better Intercontinental Championship matches that we've seen in quite a while. It doesn't get enough credit. It was awesome.
Yeah. And the Bludgeon Brothers did get pushed. They were champions.
Listen, before Bludgeon Brothers is when he did. I thought he did really well when he got his opportunities. Because if you looked at them physically, the Wyatt family, you knew Bray was going to be the center, the guy who gets all the attention. But then between the other three of them, the big muscle behind him, right? He was the one that I knew Vince would not like as much as the other two, just because the other two are bigger. Yeah. And he still got more over. Well, not them, obviously Braun, but the other one.
Gentlemen, Paul with the super chat. Gee, you guys with the super chats tonight, like.
Well, then stop answering them. Tell them they don't gotta pay no money. Sorry, Raj.
Gentleman Paul with the $5 super chat saying AEW and NWA take little digs at WWE about saying belts and hospitals. That's one thing. But I think tonight, though, when we all talk about really what competition could do and why I've been excited about AEW since the get-go is we need something on a high level to do things differently to force WWE to up its game. And tonight, AEW fired shots. Like, this was showing that even without an audience, we can still put on an A-plus show. And I think now the ball is in WWE's court, which is exciting to me. I really hope Friday we don't get a SmackDown like Monday Night's Raw where there's barely any where there was almost no wrestling. It's just interviews and pay-per-view matches. I want to see.
My hope is that Vince sees this and or whoever is in charge there sees this and goes, well, why do we have a creative team? Hold up. We have this whole big-ass creative team with all these members. No offense to them when I say this, but it's the truth. Meanwhile, there's this other show that doesn't have nearly as many members or producers and whatnot and all these overly scripted crap. and they're doing it better. How is this possible? Now, hoping it changed, it's not because he thinks his writers are bad. I'm hoping he realizes that the process is dated and it was good for like a few years when they needed it. They haven't needed it in many, many years. I'm hoping it makes him change his mind on this, because it's like getting beat by, how do I explain this? It's like the world heavyweight champion getting beat by a guy who weighs like 25 pounds, right? Scrawny, has no training for the fight, and he just worked this heavyweight 300-pound, you know, champion, this monster. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it. Just like, you know what I mean? They have less. Yes, they're on TNT, but I mean, like, the creative team, all these heads and these decision makers are involved in every single thing that happens with how these things are shot versus this small, much smaller company.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's less like cooks. It's like when an independent movie comes out and wins all the awards instead of the big studio prestige pieces.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and I think it goes to show artistry is what matters most. Creativity is what matters most. It's not about who has the most money. It's about who has the best ideas and the ability to execute them in the most interesting way possible.
You have to hire the talents that have that artistic ability to do these things.
Well, what sucks that I gather is that, like, you know, Matt, you said earlier about how, like, AEW guys you think do better on the fly, and then, you know, where some WWE people might be stiff. I think it's just a case of WWE talents are kept in such a lane. You know, from every WWE talent I talk to, either currently or past there, you know, they all say, I mean, there's a lot of creative writers. They all say that a lot of those writers are really good and have really good ideas. It's just by the time the idea gets around the table and gets to Vince, things have changed. So, you know, I think Vince, if he would, it's just obviously apparently it's not in his nature. He trusts himself. He's gotten himself so much success. He's always going to bet on himself. It's hard to argue to a guy who's built what he's built. You know, and so I could see somebody trying to show Vince, hey, look at this AEW episode. Look how successful they just did it in the same situation we're in. And I could see him finding a reason to say, oh, no, having a couple heels and faces out there gambling and drinking wine, that we have WWE superstars. They shouldn't be sitting like fans. Like, I could just see that kind of rationale. It's like, no, you're not getting it. We're in freaking times where we can't have any crowd. Let's just kind of like, I don't know.
Somebody needs to get through to him, because they did back in the Attitude Era. When he was getting beat, maybe that's the only reason he paid attention, because they were starting to get beat. Therefore, he was willing to listen to ideas. But he needs to start listening to their ideas.
I don't know. I'd be willing to bet that his son and son-in-law have tried to get through to him in certain ways. And if he hasn't listened to them, who's he going to listen to?
Yeah, we'll see what happens Friday night on SmackDown when Gronk is going to be on the show. So we'll see.
I'll be here too.
Yes, you'll be here on Friday nights.
What was next?
After that, we had the vignette for Lance Archer at Murder Hawk Mansion is the name of the venue. Ring announcer asking who's ready to try or die against Archer. And he just destroyed everybody that got into the ring with him.
That was great. That made him look awesome. Awesome. He looked like a monster.
Yeah. Backwoods Fight Club, and the fact that the ring announcer's like, you know, a little person has a very carny feel to it. You know,
oh, Jake, my God, yes, totally. This was so well done.
Jake sitting in a rocking chair, just smoking, it looked like he's blowing smoke, just calmly, coolly watching this. I mean, this was fabulous.
It was. This was like movie-ish type-ish. This was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, him versus Cody, if that's the match, do it there at that venue.
With that aesthetic, yeah. That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, seriously. And then we had Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz with Sammy Guevara versus Cody, Hangman Page, and Matt Jackson with Arn Anderson and Kenny Omega. The winners receive entry advantage for next week's Blood and Guts match. So the Inner Circle ended up getting the win tonight. This was a pretty good match. Went on for a decent length of time, but Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz won via pinfall, with Santana getting a tricky roll-up on Matt Jackson for the 1-2-3. What'd you think of the match, man?
Good. I just don't know about. I love Santana and Ortiz as a tag team. Be honest, guys. Do they feel like a main event act without Jericho?
No.
And I hate saying that. I hate saying anything negative about this show in general, but because I'm such a mark for the show, I just I don't know what it is. And Hager's a former world champion. You know, and it's not because, and they've done better with him in AEW, by the way, how they booked him, how they've treated him. It's not him. It's, to me, it's, I don't know, Santana and Ortiz, it just don't feel like main event level talents to me, even though I've seen flashes of it.
DJ Navarrete with the super chat saying, Dynamite tonight reminded me of how much it sucks to have the show spoiled since I live on the West Coast. Can't wait to watch the show. It's funny. Part of the reason with streaming TV, you guys are both fortunate on the East Coast with this, but it's like I went with DirecTV Now or AT&T Now, which sucks in every other regard, except I can watch the East Coast feed of USA and TNT. Like, that's the one saving grace on the West Coast, having streaming service.
I love that DJ's watching us, but to be fair, DJ, you chose to watch us to get the show spoiled. So.
And to pay $4.99 to tell us.
I mean, thank you for watching us, and thanks. Raj says, thank you for the $4.99, but you chose to do such.
Okay, real talk for a second, guys. Justin, Matt, we're in the wrong racket. We got to go start a wrestling site, get our own channel set up with these super chats, because apparently this just prints money.
You don't say, Glenn. It's a novel idea, Glenn.
What if we all form a coup and revolt against Raj?
No, we'll start yourself.
There goes my wink. Freaking.
We'll call it Wrestling LLC. That's original. just kidding, Raj.
Oh, you know Raj has got a team of lawyers just on standby waiting to...
Damien... God, come on, Damien Cole. You don't got to be giving us to Damien Cole. You don't got to be banging us.
Raj, I demand to see the total ledger of how much us three have brought you tonight. How much have we brought in tonight?
Didn't even get a Christmas card last
in these
year.
In these uncertain... You don't think
Raj is going to sit there and say that 80% of this he would have gotten no matter what, I bet.
And these there's a freaking pandemic going on, and people have probably donated over $100 tonight.
Good Lord.
To the show.
Makes me feel terrible. So stop. Just write your comments and we'll answer.
Damien Cole, love you guys. I look forward to the show every week. Thank you all, mods included, for working through such a hard time and bringing us fans an escape for the world we're in currently. I'm saying that this is, and we talked about this the other night, Matt. For people that listen to this podcast, listening to this podcast is an escape. We saw tweets today. People
are saying mod that, included.
Moderators,
the people that are. Like when we get like the crazy chats or people spamming it with like porn links, like the moderators.
Oh, there's somebody in there that can do all that?
Yeah, we got a great team of moderators.
Raj has a full staff.
Wow, I'm impressed. I can't see your chats, guys. That's why. Sorry.
But let me just say again, I want to thank the audience because seriously, like you guys are for me, this is my distraction from everything going on in the world right now, doing this podcast. Like not even wrestling, just the act of interacting with all of you is a great, great way to take my mind off things. And that's why we're going to keep doing it. We're already self-isolated on this podcast. We're already remote. So we're in a perfect situation. So this ending segment after, speaking of which, that promo Chris Jericho cut where he's put down the decree saying no more fans. He said, even when it's cleared, no more fans until I say so.
So good.
It was so good. Such a good way to lean into it. And then, of course, it was pointed out that there were five in the inner circle, four in the elite. And then Matt said, yeah, but I called a friend. We saw Vanguard 1 fly above the ring. And then Matt Hardy on the balcony doing the delete taunt as the show went off the air.
Hell of a way to send the show off the air. I mean, come on. I would argue, have we ever seen a better ending to Impact? Good Lord. Sorry, guys. Dynamite.
No, I mean, this was great. I mean, and the great thing is, like, we're actually going to let – I mean, Matt is so creative, which you can see if you watch – when you watch
– I watch those YouTube channels,
his
shows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's created his own world, and the great thing is you know he would – I mean, he turned down a lot of money to stay with WWE. You know he would not be doing this unless he felt he was going to get the creative control and creative freedom that he wants. So yes. even just simple things of using the drone, the Vanguard 1 that's become so famous. I mean, like, it's just –
Vanguard 1 has its own action figure. Is in his action figure set.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, this
same with Dilapidated Boat has its own figure. Mm-hmm. It's in his figure set.
Yeah, you know, and the piano music playing. You know, that's Rebby playing piano. I mean, you know, it's just great. They literally just let Matt They're going to let Matt do what he wants to do. This is great.
Back to that dude's comment. Go back. Go back.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that
CC Ortiz, one of the fans, CC Funk 1, said he thinks Ortiz is great. Both are really meeting him, Ortiz and exactly. What's the other one's name?
Santana.
Thank you. Santana. I actually think Santana was coming out a little bit in a promo once. Is that the one whose eye got gouged out? Which one did Moxley hurt his eye? Anyways, they're not main event singles acts right now yet. They're not.
King Key of the Law saying Santana and Ortiz don't fit because that was clearly the Revival spot. That's
big difference, huge difference. The Revival would fit that group much better, even though they've been really good in it. I just don't think they're. I don't know. They can grow into it. They're just not there yet, and it hurts when Jericho's not out there.
And JC Harrington saying y'all are skipping over Sammy singing Judas when Chris Jericho came to the ring.
Yeah.
Sammy now, on the other hand, has stepped up big time. I would say since the first time we stopped doing his licking his mouth crap when his tongue was hanging out. After that in-ring introduction of them, he's been A+ since.
After Jericho, Sammy's the one that's got the biggest rub out of this inner circle. He's the next biggest star. Yeah. Even the thing when they go to commercial and they do the picture in picture, and Sammy's made a habit of having the cue card showing thing, you know, saying things to. And Glenn, did I hear on Monday, was Raj talking about Matt Hardy and potential Matt Hardy stuff?
With the meetup and everyone in the chat room and Matt Morgan accused him of lying.
Let me set the record straight. It was 7 days ago. It was last Wednesday. I can say this sucks. We were going to have our event at Rick's on the River in Tampa WrestleMania weekend. As of last Wednesday, it was confirmed Matt Hardy was going to come and be a bonus guest at that. And do some Q&A and interact with us. I mean, but I will say this, we also have had the hope that we were going to make that event up somehow, some way in the future. So,
and we're having Ryback come.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know. We haven't even asked him yet. I think he's that swell of a guy. I like him. I think he'll come.
We're going to get, so Justin, we were talking about this. We were saying we should do, instead of the Ricks on the River, which has been canceled that day, we should do a bonus episode of the Wrestling Inc. podcast, get all of us on and Ryback on. And, yes. You know, finally great. Get face to face.
I thought we are.
Well, now that we have two two nights of WrestleMania, that's two nights of podcasts.
I also think we should also put it out there. Like, one of you guys had that idea of putting out an old show that we got to watch.
Yeah.
Rewatch it. Have the fans rewatch it as well. And then we come and we cover it.
Yeah.
You know, another thing we get, another idea thrown out there as we're doing ideas is if we all hook up like we do now. Maybe we do like a live watch party of WrestleMania with us where we watch WrestleMania live.
Can I make another suggestion? A lot of them want us to do Power. Why don't we go back and since Power started and cover every one of those?
Maybe. It's an option. Let's see what happens with WWE.
It's true. Show.
Well, let's see what happens. You know, WWE, based on everything we're hearing from backstage, is really focused on Mania right now. Who knows what the situation is going to be after that. Joe Kerr, with a super chat asking, does the blueprint plus Manscaped equals blue balls?
No.
No cell from that. No.
Nothing. Now you know what it's like to just put out gold and get the stone face.
For those of you that this is something that's brand new to, men have been doing this for years, have been grooming themselves for years. Welcome to 20, I would say, good Lord. Welcome to 1998.
In the year 2020. You're saying that, Matt, 1998 was the year, I think, when you and I turned old enough to finally realize, like, after puberty started 10 years ago, that, like, this finally does get too long. Like, it only took, 10 years, but now I got to do something about this. We were both 22 then. Gentleman Paul saying, this is a super chat. This is our movie and restaurant money, guys. Thank you. Seriously, I know we make jokes, and whatnot about this, and we give Raj a hard time, but seriously, everyone who donates to the super chat, everyone who just hangs out in the chat room, like, you guys blow me away every week just with your creativity, how funny you are. And the super chats on top of that. It's fantastic. And oh, DJ Navarette with a follow-up, spending $5 to follow up. Sir, save your money. I'll read your comment saying it's not you guys that spoil the show for me. It's all the kids in the social media. Wait,
kids.
How old are you when you start saying it's all the kids? You know what I'm talking about? The kids with the social media spoiling everything.
Tweeter thing.
You know, you can mute words on Twitter if you don't want to have stuff spoiled for you. You can like mute terms.
Or just don't log into social media.
That's true. Also true. So yeah. Oh, interesting. WWE, John Nelson saying WWE is talking about airing Takeover on a Wednesday to counter AEW. I assume that's going to happen.
Better. And I would still watch what we saw tonight over Takeover.
Really?
What I saw in AEW tonight?
Oh, no, over a new Takeover, over them doing Takeover, was supposed to be Takeover Tampa. You would watch AEW tonight over
and Takeover. And the arena Takeover? Yes. Yes, I would, because it's wrestling. What we saw tonight was way more creative than just wrestling.
Okay.
I've seen wrestling, and I've seen great wrestling. We all have.
Yeah.
Tonight was something very different. We didn't just watch great wrestling. We watched crazy creativity that I've not seen before. I'm just being... I think we all agree with that.
And okay, so I understand the times we're in. I understand WWE is probably having the shittiest month it's ever had, Justin, probably since the steroid trial. Like, this is not an easy time. But tonight on NXT, they just gave up and showed us an hour on DIY, which was great, but it's not wrestling. It's not...
It's not. And I'll be honest, when we'll touch on NXT here in a minute. I mean, I watched maybe a combined 4 minutes of NXT tonight. I'll be dead honest.
I had it on the whole time.
But here's the thing. What helps them in their favor, I saw they showed, you know, Finn. They showed the entire Men's Rumble match and occupied 90 minutes with commercial interruption on Raw. And this past week's Raw didn't do that bad. And so they've seen that when they show premium content, i.e.
Really quick, here's the other part we need to take into account. Everybody's at home watching TV again now. Before, you didn't really have that. People are out and about doing whatever they're doing, being distracted by 100 different things. Every network is now covering this pandemic, except the Wrestling Channel. Mm-hmm. So ratings shouldn't, you know what I mean? So no, I hope people don't take it. Or, you know, wow, they did a really good number because of their creativity that they...
So to that point, Matt...
I praise them, by the way, for even doing any of this stuff.
Sure.
So to that point, Matt, is it possible with you know, if you're home, as you said, and then you find something on the TV that's not this coronavirus, and then let's say you log on to social and you see trending and you see buzz and what have you, is it possible that tonight's AEW Dynamite could be their most viewed Dynamite ever?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. I'm actually right now to see what the number is now.
I think this could be the second most watched episode. I think the first one is still the high bar when they did 1.1, 1.2?
Over a million, yeah.
I think this could be the second.
Impact with your 1.4. Never tell you that. Just continue. Sorry.
I think this could easily be the second highest rated Dynamite ever.
Yeah.
Ryan W. with the super chat saying AW had me behind the scenes watching training.
Huh?
Context, Ryan. Now you don't have to pay to give us context on that.
Or Green Hearts.
Is he trying to say that like he felt like because it was an empty arena that it was like watching guys practice?
But in a good way. I think WWE felt that way, didn't. And Matt, Friday we said no criticism tonight on SmackDown. It's very admirable that WWE did this and went out there and put on a show. And I agree with that. Monday, that formula felt very muted. I hate to say it. Monday felt like they didn't really try because Vince didn't like wrestling without an arena or without fans there. So they just reshowed the Rumble match. There's only so long they can do that and keep the hardcore fan base that's already seen this stuff. I mean, would you guys want to do a podcast Monday and Friday to talk about stuff we've already seen?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't watch it personally. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. They're right about this next comment. That is, these fans won't – the hardcore fans will not go away. You guys have got – actually, I'm not going to say it during this time when we're going through what we're going through because everybody needs business right now.
Yeah. Here's the one thing. Here's the – veering off real quick. The compliment I will give WWE so far with the empty Performance Center shows, The promos actually are even better. There's something, there's an extra intensity and intimacy with that John Cena Fiend, or actually it wasn't Fiend, it's John Cena Bray Wyatt. John Cena Bray Wyatt promo.
Same with Edge.
Yeah, sure. And the no random crowd chants or crowd noise, there's actually an extra intensity in the promos that connect.
Definitely.
It's just the matches. The matches feel, you know,
different and weird. I but still, they're giving us entertainment, so.
And I don't fault them for that, but yeah, I think that it is going to be tough to sustain if they're not putting in that extra effort. Damian Cole saying, is tonight the night we see the ratings boost for AEW similar to when Mankind won the belt? I mean, AEW has been winning most every week so far, so I think they're going to get a pop tonight. But I think with NXT, so they really showed the first hour on DIY. On Gargano and Ciampa, they showed like 15 minutes on Finn, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then the rest was on Rhea Ripley. So we had Michael Cole and Triple H bookending this, but this felt, I mean, I don't know. And I love all of those performers, but with what Dynamite had going on tonight, I mean, I kept NXT on and kept kind of trying to watch both. But with NXT after a while, every time something interesting happened on Dynamite, I muted NXT. Cause I was like, I've seen this.
Yes. Yeah, there was no when WWE in advance announced what was going to be on NXT tonight. The fact there was no matches, there was no reason to tune in to NXT because you knew nothing new was going to happen. They WWE does great editing, great video packages, great interviews. They do great things recapping and storytelling. But you knew
those videos were new.
What's that?
None of those videos on those characters were new.
Some of them are new. But what I'm saying is, nothing was going to progress in the stories. Nothing was going to happen that you know what I mean? So for that reason, that's why I watched maybe a combined 4 minutes of NXT. Just because I knew that I wasn't, you know.
I tried. I'm not. I do it every week. It just, yeah.
Joey Adorjan is saying, I would rather WWE cancel the shows and do reruns instead of half-assing it by doing half the show live and half the show rerun. And maybe that's it. Like, segment it.
Yeah,
segment it in a way, you know, that doesn't feel like, I mean, that Rumble thing, and that was a great Rumble, but we did just see that a few weeks ago.
I honestly liked watching it again, for what it's worth. I did, and I think it will. They did. What did that number do? Just that part of the show.
I don't have it in front of me. It did. I know it did better than what some of the previous weeks of live programming have done. So,
wow.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say this. I've been saying that for a while. I've been saying, even before this pandemic, I thought WWE needs an offseason. Every sport has an offseason. Every episodic entertainment television has an offseason. WWE is a merge of both. WWE needs to take 6 weeks off after WrestleMania every year.
You'd be calling their shows per season premiere. I always thought that was hysterical. I'm like, you guys don't have a finale. What are you guys doing this business?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say Mania happens on April 4th and April 5th.
Yeah.
And this pandemic is still going on. We're not right. Going to be back to public assembly until the summer. Do they continue? That's what I'm asking. Once they do these blow-off stories at Mania, do they then take it off, or do they keep trying to do their normal weekly grind?
I like watching it. We have nothing to watch right now.
I just saw this tweet. Conan O'Brien tweeted this, and I think this is sort of in the spirit of what society needs to prepare for. Conan saying he's going back on the air Monday, March 30th. All of his staff will work from home. He'll shoot at home using an iPhone, and his guests are going to Skype in. It will not be pretty, but feel free to laugh at our attempt. I think WWE, you know, we're going to need that right now. We need people to step up and get creative. We have an unprecedented level of technology in this world that, yes, you need people in person to have a wrestling match, but you can do everything else from anywhere in the world right now.
We're going to be making a huge, huge press release, fingers crossed, that it still goes through within these next 2 days, and it's related to this pandemic on top of it. Dude, what's happening is leading to a lot of crazy intelligent people's creativity. Very much so. And I think we're going to continue to see that. I think we're going to see some really cool things out of this. Some amazing things is going to come from this pandemic. Watch.
Yeah. And we have to look at that upside. I mean, we have to look at whatever silver linings we can find.
You're supposed to just doom and gloom. And no, you got to think positively. You got to have faith, and you got to follow the directions that CDC is putting out there and others are putting out there for us to do to help curb this. And in the interim, have faith, think positively. even though it's hard, you have to. Nothing good ever came from being negative and overly, you know, losing your mind over these things, even though it's hard not to at times. I agree with it. You know, I was here with my son the other day, and you can just tell he's completely out of his, like, I'm running around this town like a madman doing all these different things. I've been impressed, like conference calls for 5 straight hours, dude. I was with, good Lord, governor. I was on 2 conference calls with our governor today. Our Senator Rick Scott was on 2 conference calls with him today. That took like 3 hours. It's so my kid, we took out of daycare to come home here. You could tell he's completely, he's nonverbal autistic, but he's completely out of his realm here, completely out of his structured environment. And it started making you think like, oh no, like this is really going to mess up his pathway that he was on to really improving. Cause he's been improving immensely to maybe one day talk, like not just say the alphabet, but really say, hey dad, hey, what's up? I love you. You know, things like that, you know? And that's just a microcosm of everybody's situation. So my point is you can get down about that and you can overly self-analyze that and feel, you know, or you can start looking at the other side of this, that something amazing is going to come out of this. I truly, truly believe that when this blows over, and it's going to be a lot of cool creativity that a lot of smart people start to come up with. And I think we're going to be really impressed with it. Just for this pandemic alone, we're about to announce something pretty freaking amazing. And I'm excited to even be part of it.
No, Matt, I think those are great words. I think one of the great things that's going to come out of this is I think the industry of teledocs, being able to get medical care via Skype and doing this, I think that's going to explode, because that's already, I'm seeing here in Pittsburgh, being promoted heavily. And I think that entire industry, which then is going to take sick bodies all gathering at a waiting room, getting sicker. And like, I think it's, the rent that it takes to have a building. I think it's a lot of things that are going to come out of this positively, but it's just getting to the side first.
Yes.
No, absolutely.
We got to think positive. We have to have faith is the moral of my story. Sorry. Yeah.
It took forever. No, it was a good story.
WWE fan guy has a question for Matt about thoughts on OVW going on national TV with U2 America starting April 3rd.
Yeah, Justin, that's
what's that story?
That's this is Al Snow. Al Snow has made that happen.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that's Al. That's all Al Snow. Proshed Al Snow.
My very favorite time in all of pro wrestling was in OVW.
Yep.
And wow, why? Amazing. Because then it wasn't about the money. It was about working to make the best from what you could do at the time.
Yeah, everyone's so damn hungry and trying to one-up each other. It's the best time.
Stephen Marcuccilli, with the super chat saying, any news on a post-Mania draft? Ooh.
That's the least of their worries right now.
Yeah. I don't think Vince is thinking past April 5th or 6th.
Fifth, yeah.
Yeah, maybe the draft will be who gets some off time, and then they'll rotate people in waves.
Didn't you guys tell me, I thought the other night when I asked that, like, that they have to have something air or something like that? They have because it's in their contract?
Well, it's in I mean, they have their contract with USA and Fox.
They're doing off-season then.
But, well, here's the thing. They
rotate them?
Just like they're doing now. They're showing vignettes. They're showing recaps of premium content that's on the WWE Network. I mean, first off, you could pull it off that way.
All for it. Whatever gets these guys off the road, I'd love it.
You could pull off studio shows that just kind of recap and keep people invested in the story, so then when you come back after 4 or 6 weeks, they get picked back up.
But their deal with the networks is they still have to air something.
They need to air something. And here's the other thing. And I people always want to say, oh, the sponsors. Look at this. If NHL and NBA and all these leagues were able to – the sponsors will understand right now, especially. But I think in general –
they care about numbers. I'm going to cut you off, Justin. They just care about numbers. They don't give a crap who's actually on the TV performing for a wrestling show.
It's all about the numbers.
Exactly. And if WWE is – and it's proven, as I just said, they showed the Rumble on Monday night. The numbers did well. If WWE is fine with showing content that is on the WWE Network, which is behind a paywall, and showing it on free TV, and it's going to draw some viewers, then you could do 6 weeks of showing some recaps and showing some best ofs. Hell, here's an idea. Here's WWE. You can write me a freaking check. You're not going to have a Hall of Fame ceremony this year. Why don't you spend the 6 weeks you should take off during this effing pandemic Why don't you have each week an episode dedicated to who's going to the Hall of Fame? 1 week's British Bulldog, 1 week's NWO, and you can show best of matches, interviews. You can interview Kevin Nash via Skype. You can do live interviews, show best of clips. You could fill an entire 6 weeks off doing a Hall of Fame ceremony each week, essentially. And there you go. You fill up programming.
It's not a bad idea. And they have always original content, too, that they have on their network that I really do like a lot. Right now is with the Ruthless Aggression stuff and others, many others before that. They could totally go to pull an hour out of a 3 hour show.
The FCW documentary they just put out, you know,
that was awesome too.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see a modified format. I just hope they find a good way to break it up. Oh, one thing we didn't mention, Busy Rhythm saying Brandy did an awesome job covering the ring announcing tonight. That's right. Yes. At the beginning, I liked her a little wink and a nod to the fact that she was out there doing that tonight. But I thought she was great.
That's what she used to do.
Yep. So what else do we got, Justin, to talk about?
It's interesting, but we'll try to keep it tight here. So there's some conflicting reports about Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio, he had said recently in some interviews that WWE has reached out to him and that they're in communication. Maybe something happening later this year. And then Alex McCarthy of Talk Sport, he kind of conflicts that and he says Triple H nor anybody else has reached out to Alberto Del Rio. I personally, my opinion, I don't see why WWE would need Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah. And not that I'm a fan. I like him. I just think he's past it. You know what I mean? Age-wise with what they're, you know what I mean? Well, yeah. Man, they brought this so-and-so guy back at a much older age. What are you talking about? They brought Del Rio back a couple times now, no?
Yeah. I just don't think there's anything. You know, they have – And there's always the topic with guys like Del Rio and Rey Mysterio of, reaching the Mexican audience, and it's like they have Rey there, they have Andrade, they have Humberto, like so I don't yes. that doesn't they fly with me.
Younger, more exciting acts.
Yeah. The other story we have is with CM Punk. He did an interview recently on with Swings and Misses. He did an interview and he was basically asked, what would it take to get you back in the ring? And he talked about it's a very fluid answer. It's constantly changing. And he said, it's just a matter of the creative and the opponent and the money being right. And I'll kind of give you a quote here. He said, as far as people that I've worked with before, I think that if there's a clean slate, so to speak, and the money was right, I think a guy like Dan O'Brien, I would go, okay, I'll listen to your idea. If you said John Cena, I'd probably listen to your idea. Rey Mysterio, I'd listen to your idea. For people I haven't wrestled before, I think Will Ospreay, I listen to your idea. Like I said, there's a lot of moving parts, but nobody who's ever run the wrestling companies has made the right one. Will Ospreay actually did follow up to this on Twitter and tag CM Punk and basically noted that how on January 4th when the big New Japan show is every year, let's do this. So CM Punk commenting on what we all wait to see is if and when he's ever going to step back into a ring.
Do you think Punk could even keep up with him?
Will Ospreay?
Will Ospreay can, dude. Yeah. He gets after it. That dude is so freaking good.
I think it's inevitable that we see CM Punk in a ring again, and I think the AEW ship has sailed because if it was going to happen, it would have happened. And the fact that AEW's brought Colt Cabana in and Colt and CM Punk or just got done with that lawsuit. I don't think we see Punk in AEW, which at one point seemed like it was tailor fit for Punk, right? A new renegade organization against Vince. Being ran by his friends,
Jericho, Moxley, Cody,
the Bucks.
The Bucks. Yeah,
I think AEW tried, and somewhere there was maybe a blunder. I don't know, but I think eventually, we see a CM Punk back in a WWE ring. I don't know if it's this year, next year, 3 years, but eventually, I think everybody always comes back. The money always speaks, and WWE is going to need it. So,
yes, sir.
Eventually,
yeah. Anyhow.
What have you been reading the entire time that we were talking?
I've been reading the chat comments, and I've been looking at Twitter and Reddit to see is there anything else we should cover before we take it home tonight. Because we have Matt here tonight, over 1,000 people live in this chat room watching us. Our podcast numbers and YouTube numbers have actually been significantly up for the past week. What's that?
More than normal?
Much more than normal. And I'm thinking that while we're here and distracting people from everything else going on in the world, is there anything else we should cover?
Keep going.
Yes. What else can we talk about and give people, just a little something more in this crazy time? Isn't it also weird Have you had this yet? I know it's a business or day to day where people keep referring to it as like the current situation or these unprecedented times. People don't want to say the name. They don't want to say the word, you know, but it's there's going to be a name for this. Similar, you know, the Great Depression,
COVID-19.
I know. Well, when the Great Depression was happening, they didn't call it the Great Depression at the time. No one said, God, things are so bad right now. It kind of feels like we're all depressed. Perhaps we're in a Great Depression, if you will. No one ever said that out loud during the time. So there will be a name for this.
People are calling it coronavirus and COVID-19. Like everything I've written that.
Yeah.
This is going to be forever referred to as the great binge watching of streaming services.
The great binge.
Dude, I am so happy. I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son, and they put Frozen 2 on Disney Plus early as of last Sunday. I am so thankful. I mean, I've still had to go to my office. But my wife has been home with those kids, and she is so thankful that Disney Plus is putting this stuff out. So thank you, Disney Plus.
Isaiah Harad is saying, do a Wrestling Inc. roast. Matt,
we do it every week. We do it every week. Do you not watch our show?
We roast Raj.
Raj is our weekly target.
If it was a roast, I'd be far meaner if it was a roast.
Dude, how about next year for next year's Mania? And hopefully we do have a party. We do a roast in person. That would be great.
We should do the roast of Ryback.
Get Rose Fry back. He's not on enough to get it. You guys can do me.
Matt roasts me every week when I start rambling and he starts cutting me off and telling me I'm rambling.
Okay. Michael Edwards, what's each of your favorite Mania? Looking for something to rewatch during lockdown.
Oh, what's each of your favorite Mania? Oh, good Lord. You can't go wrong going back to watch WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
My first Mania I ever went to, 17. You can't go wrong watching 17.
Was that the first one you've? That's not the first one you've ever watched.
That's
right?
The first one I went to live.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Houston.
You went to one. You went to that. That was a good one.
My first one.
I mean, I don't know how the first one holds up, but my memories of being at the Boys and Girls Club and we watched it on video cassette, and I think it came on 2 cassette tapes. And we all gathered in the rec room to watch it on like a 20-inch TV.
You know, a big deal of VHS cassette tapes from Coliseum Video, like the material it was made out of,
yeah.
The noise it would make when you'd close it and you'd open it up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The plastic stuff. Yeah. It wasn't just like the VHS cassette cardboard boxes that you just do that and people come flying out. It was the ones you'd have to open like a book.
It's like a binder. Yeah.
That was the best. We had it good. I'm sorry. Our childhood was the best.
And I remember 6. That was the one where like me and my friends in middle school all pooled together money. And it was like the big event that we had at somebody's house. You know, it was like, guys, we've got 8 pizzas coming with all sorts of different toppings. We've got all this food. We're going to sit there and just watch Wrestling Mania because it was Hogan versus Warrior. Like that, my memories associated with that. I wish I could just get that back. Don't you wish there was some way, Matt, you could just pay a little bit of money and just give me that feeling back?
Yes, that I had Griffin, the time. Griffin Bun's house, waiting on pepperoni and bacon pizza to get there and drinking all the soda we wanted.
Yeah.
His mom dared to leave us alone watching it, which was mean. We could just eat whatever as much as we wanted and drink as much soda as we want. It was the best. I'll never forget that stuff. You know, where you were.
Clay Ford saying, Matt, now the gyms are closed.
Going bonkers. Oh, sorry, I'll read the whole thing.
Okay, Matt saying, what are you doing now the gyms are closed? Mine shut down and I'm losing my mind.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what's happening. And me and my wife both. We both.
You're the mayor. You can get into one of these gyms. You're the mayor.
The question is, do I want to? Do I really want to?
Take a lot of disinfectant wipes.
You don't have a weight bench at home?
No, you would think I would, right? No, yeah, my wife's got everything here for her. We got everything here for her. She got herself the Peloton. She got herself a treadmill in the past. And, just randomly over the years, she just randomly get this stuff. But nothing. I have no weightlifting stuff here. You think I would?
You got to figure out like an isolated workout and post a stream of it, Matt. Like, you know, 15-minute full body workout that people can do at home.
Dude, Ryback's got it at his garage. Where does he live?
Denver. I don't know.
Cali, probably, I'm guessing.
Raj?
No, Ryback.
Ryback.
Oh, Ryback. I don't know.
Where does he live? He doesn't live here in Florida, right? No. He has his own gym. He has his own like garage gym or whatever.
Oh, he's in Nevada, isn't he?
Oh yeah, there you go, Nevada.
It's Nevada.
We've been doing GDPY again. We actually got those little pedalers that you could sit on the couch and do. It's like an exercise bike, just the pedals of it. You got to do something, man.
You're doing more than I am right now.
You row as you go.
No, I mean, we put on Fast Five last night, and we probably spent 2 hours of that just pedaling. We got two of them. They're quiet, which is great. And it just flew by, but it was nice just to do something just to get the heart rate up and burn some calories. I think now even taking a walk is kind of weird.
See, I have been liking that. I've been doing more outside with my kid with his bike and a scooter and things like that. Yeah. Instead of just doing one trip around the block, we've been doing like four. And my block is a quarter mile. But it's not like I'm running or sprinting.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, rewatching it, the entire Fast and the Furious series, Fast Five is by far the best Fast and the Furious movie.
How about the new Fast and Furious that Cena's in this summer? They delayed it till next April.
That has affected me more than anything else, knock on wood, personally more than anything else in this current situation.
When was it going to be out?
It was going to be out this summer, when they put it to next April because they don't want people gathering at the theaters.
So it's like nine months later?
Yeah, they're pushing the whole marketing campaign.
The same thing they did when Paul Walker died, because Fast 7 got pushed back a year for post-production. But, man, we bought our tickets already. Like, we were so excited for that. I'm more bummed about that than Missing Mania, to be honest.
But you know what I wonder? You know, obviously, WWE always has to fight to get Cena because of Hollywood. Now, Cena always has other projects. But if now Cena does not have to do the marketing and release tour for Fast in the summer, SummerSlam's in Boston, Cena's backyard. He could go for the record-breaking title victory and be with them for the summer to SummerSlam now. Maybe. I don't know what other Hollywood commitments he might have, but that potentially clears the schedule.
Interesting.
Anthony Puck is saying, why is The Rock not in the new Fast and the Furious with John Cena? Because The Rock and Vin Diesel have legitimate heat.
So The Rock's not in this next one?
I believe he is not.
You sure about that?
I didn't see him in the trailer.
He has to be in it. He's the whole friggin' thing now.
Dude, did you see the trailer for Fast 9?
Rock would kick Vin Diesel's ass.
Did you see the trailer for the new one, Matt?
I think I've just seen... No, I have not. Can you send it to me?
Yeah, they gave away a lot, but holy shit, like, they are doing some stuff in this one that just, like, this is the hardest one to wait for. But yeah, I'll send you a link to the trailer. It's so good. But yeah, Hobbs and Shaw was just okay. Like,
I liked that. Come on. I liked Hobbs. I liked it.
But when you go back to Fast Five, when they brought everyone together and it was a heist and the big job and the crew, like, that's why it's, and the end chase with the bank vault towing it all around Rio. I mean, Fast Five is just legitimately a great film, but I don't know. I like Fast Six is probably my second favorite, but that whole series, probably next to the Marvel movies, the Marvel Universe, the Fast and the Furious is my favorite film series, even above Star Wars at this point.
Wow.
Star Wars has a lot of misses.
Star Wars too, but I'm usually by myself saying something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Wars, if not for the prequels.
Yeah.
Justin Lopez paying us $2 in Super Chat saying to The Rock has beef with Vin and Tyrese. So there you have it.
Tyrese. Yeah. Yep. He's right. Because he's come crying because Rock went out on his own, supposedly, to make that movie and go on his own.
Yeah.
He's the bigger star. Sorry.
Mania next year in Hollywood. You got to think The Rock either is the main event or goes in the Hall of Fame next year, right?
They would be terrible in the wrestling business, Justin. Can you imagine them like back in Hogan's day when Hogan's making all these other wrestlers so much money? If they were lucky enough to be on the same card as him, they'd make a ton of money, right? They never complained.
Yeah.
Because they're marks. Because he's a mark.
Yes. Okay. I think that covers it. I think we've got everything. But hey,
Gibson is a mark. That's what we're ending it on.
I mean, really, is there anything better? He does strike me as sort of a mark for himself. Tyrese, hasn't he made like
a song?
Well,
he had a good song back in the day. Could have sworn he did. I liked it.
Who did Tyrese ever beat?
Oh, well.
Nobody. I don't know.
Not Matt Morgan. Not me. Not Glenn Rubenstein.
Rise, oh, he didn't say your name, Rise. See that, Rise? You're not even really part of the show anymore, Rise. I know you're listening, Rise.
Nelson Medina saying Fast Five, easily the best action movie of all time. It's up there. I mean, it's not like Die Hard, but it's up there.
Okay.
We're going to be back here Friday, the three of us.
For SmackDown?
For SmackDown. Gronk's going to be there. Anthony in the chat saying, I wonder if they're proactively quarantining all wrestling talent, just running segments to build up to WrestleMania. I think there's a very good likelihood we could see that. I don't think we're going to see a show with more than one or two matches until WrestleMania on WWE TV for the next few weeks.
That would be smart. They should be pre-taping them. Like you said, for AEW, like WWE should be doing the same thing.
Should. They should.
Yeah, because if any wrestler in either company tests positive for coronavirus, you got to lock it down.
Yeah.
It's crazy times. Look, everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. My county is under, what is it? We have to stay at home, essentially, for non-essential.
How many cases do you have in your county?
In our county, we have three, but two new ones. We have five, but two ones were confirmed over the weekend that were community spread in the town next to ours.
You only have five cases of coronavirus in your entire county?
In our county, but in the Bay Area, there's hundreds. So we're right near like Marin County.
Yeah.
Near like San Francisco. So I think they're just being really proactive about this. And I think, you know, what a lot of people have said, people much smarter than me, is that if it seems like we're overreacting, it's taking the steps. Like that's what you have to do. And if they're right, we'll never know because it will have stopped. If they're right about why we need to do all this, we'll never know because it'll prevent shit from really hitting the fan. Not that it isn't already, but I wanted to give the recommendation because I see this on social media. People are talking even in our chat saying, oh, I should have listened a week ago and gone out and got toilet paper and groceries. Let me tell you, I never used stay-at-home grocery delivery until this, but we've been using like Instacart and Shipt. And even you can get Whole Foods through Amazon Prime, like Target delivers. It has been a game changer and a lifesaver for us.
You've been getting toilet paper that way?
Not toilet paper, but just about everything else. Prepare, though, for them to be out of stock and have to do multiple stores and multiple orders if you're not living in – for God's sake. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. God, take that.
If you have a parent or someone of advanced age in your household, like get the groceries delivered. Have them leave it on the doorstep. Do not take any chances.
And the thing is, a lot of people are using that as an excuse, rightfully so. They want to get out of the house to go do something. And they think they're going to go into this supermarket where no one else is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they are. Even though I've seen them try to do it a very cool way. A lot of these places have tried to set it up where seniors can come in before the stores actually open and give them about an hour to get all their stuff. And then they'll open for the day for everybody else. But even when doing that, they're creating these huge lines. And they're all sitting there lined up on top of each other. And I'm going, no, you know, they're too close to each one. Everyone's too close to one another.
My county has, I think, 12 cases. And Pennsylvania just had the first death tonight.
Look, let me give this pro tip that I've learned for everyone. When you look at the delivery windows and it says none are filled the day after tomorrow or things like that, the delivery windows open at midnight, your local time. So if you want to get a slot early, like do your order, start doing it around 11 or 11:30. And then when you get to check out at midnight and select your time, that's when they'll open up the next days to make sure you get a grocery delivery on the books and on the schedule. And they've been filling more than I thought they would. So we're going to be fine here. We're self-isolating for as long as, it's necessary.
And one other tip, if people want to help, but still stay quarantined, go online, buy some gift cards to places. Because right now, all the bartenders and servers who are getting screwed, not being able to get any tips or anything like that, if you buy gift cards to places, that is like that's giving the money right now to those restaurants who can then try to help still pay some employees that they're keeping on and not furloughing or whatever. And then, hey, when all this lifts so we can go back out in public like normal, you got a night out for dinner to look forward to. So, like, buy some gift cards, buy some stuff for, you know, here in Pittsburgh, they're still allowing restaurants to do like takeout or curbside service. So like, you know, like tonight I went to a local place down the street and ordered takeout to give them some business, you know.
They're going to be hit the hardest with this.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I mean, we know people that are in the restaurant business, both owning restaurants and working at restaurants. And I mean, think about what that does to our economy and what does this people's lives.
Logan's when went out of business. Work. Logan's, you guys know what Logan's is, right?
No.
Is that just a Florida thing? Logan's Steakhouse?
Probably a Florida thing.
We're missing out. They went out of business today completely.
Wow.
Many, many year old business. And this is what day of this coronavirus? What day is this? Were we in?
I mean, no. A week ago tonight was when shit really got really real with the NBA.
Okay. So that's, you know, so, yeah.
I mean, it's so crazy.
Help your local mom and pop businesses out in any which way you can while protecting yourself.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, look, everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. We're going to catch you back here Friday night, the three of us talking about SmackDown Live. He's at BP Matt Morgan. He's at Justin Labar. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We will catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.